Welcome to the Deep Dive. We've been digging into some really interesting material lately, all centered around unlocking more about the cannabis plant.
Mm-hmm.
We're going way beyond the familiar names like THC and CBD today to explore something else that's, well, fundamental to the experience.
Absolutely. And the material we've looked at really highlights these compounds as, you know, crucial players.
Right.
They influence not just the aroma and flavor you notice, but also the actual effects you might feel. So this deep dive is all about getting what these molecules are, why they matter.
And how you can use that knowledge.
Exactly. How it helps you better navigate the world of cannabis.
That's right. If you've ever sampled different strains and noticed, say, one smells distinctly like pine, another like bright citrus, or maybe something really earthy and musky.
You've met them.
You've encountered what we're talking about, mm-hmm. the terpenes. And it turns out these aromatic compounds are kind of the unsung heroes, doing a lot more heavy lifting than just, you know, providing a pleasant smell.
Definitely more than scent.
So let's unpack this a bit. Based on the research we've been exploring, what exactly are terpenes at their core?
Well, at their most basic, they're a huge group of organic compounds. You find them in a massive variety of plants, not just cannabis at all.
Ah.
Think about the fragrant oils in like a lemon peel or the calming scent of lavender, maybe the distinctive smell of a pine forest.
Yeah.
Those are all terpenes in action.
So they're like the universal language of plant smells almost.
In a way, yeah. Structurally, they're built from these repeating 5-carbon units called isoprenes.
Isoprenes, okay.
And different combinations of these units, they lead to different classes, like monoterpenes, that's 2 isoprene units, or sesquiterpenes with 3 or more.
Right.
It's how these building blocks combine that creates the incredible variety of aromas we encounter.
And initially, their job in the plant itself is often defensive, isn't it? Using that aroma to maybe ward off pests or something.
Exactly. It's a survival mechanism for the plant. But what's really fascinating is how these same compounds then interact with us when we consume cannabis.
Okay, so here's where it gets really interesting for the listener. It's not just about protecting the plant. What does the material say about what happens when these terpenes actually get into our bodies?
This is where the research indicates their influence goes way beyond just aroma. These compounds can interact directly with your body's own systems.
Like the ECS.
Including the endocannabinoid system, yeah. And other receptors, too. They don't just add smell. They can actually modulate or sort of fine-tune how cannabinoids like THC and CBD affect you.
Okay, modulate. This sounds like the heart of what people often call the entourage effect.
Precisely. The concept, as described in the material we looked at, is really about synergy.
Synergy, right.
It suggests that cannabinoids and terpenes and possibly other compounds, too, they work together.
Better together.
Yeah, in a way that produces effects greater or maybe just different than any single compound would in isolation. So instead of cannabinoids acting alone, it's this whole complex mix.
Driven significantly by the terpenes.
Exactly. That terpene profile shapes the overall experience. It's why 2 strains, maybe with the exact same THC percentage, can feel completely different.
So the experience you have isn't just dictated by the amount of THC or CBD. It's this whole orchestra playing together, with terpenes conducting a big part of the show.
That's a great analogy. And understanding these different players and their roles is really key to, well, predicting or even tailoring that experience.
Okay, let's dive into some of the major players then. We kept seeing certain names pop up in the material. Myrcene, for instance, seems like a really significant one.
It absolutely is. Myrcene is consistently highlighted as, like, the most abundant terpene found in cannabis samples across various studies.
Most abundant.
You'll probably recognize its aroma, that earthy, musky, sometimes even slightly skunky note.
Right. And what did the sources suggest about the potential effects linked to myrcene being dominant?
Well, based on the research, myrcene is commonly associated with more sedative, relaxing effects.
Sedative?
Yeah, it's thought to contribute to that sense of calm, tranquility, maybe even helping with stress relief or sleep. Strains often cited as being high in myrcene include popular ones like Blue Dream and White Widow.
Okay. Moving from that earthy calm to something, well, completely different. How about limon? I'm guessing that's linked to citrus.
You got it. Limon brings those really vibrant, zesty citrus aromas. Think lemons, oranges, grapefruit. It's often uplifting just by scent alone for a lot of people.
And do the associated effects kind of mirror that bright scent?
They often seem to, yeah. Limon is linked in the material we saw to mood elevation, stress relief. It's frequently described as boosting energy and promoting mental clarity.
Energy and clarity.
Lemon haze is a classic example where you'd expect high limon. And the research also mentions sweet tooth as another limon-dominant chemotype.
Pine is another one of those unmistakable smells you get with some cannabis varieties. That has to be pine, right?
That distinctive piney resinous aroma. Yeah, like walking through an evergreen forest. That's pine.
Exactly.
And it's also one of the most common terpenes found across the whole plant kingdom, actually, not just in cannabis.
Okay. What kind of feeling does that pine scent often evoke then?
The material tends to connect pine to more invigorating effects. It's associated with heightened alertness, mental sharpness, maybe increased energy.
Alertness, okay.
While strains like Jack Here and Blue Dream are known for pine, the research we looked at highlighted its presence as significant alpha pine in a really wide range of varieties, everything from Kilimanjaro to Wifey OG.
Wow, okay. And then there's caryophyllene, specifically beta-caryophyllene. This one seems to have a pretty unique profile.
It does. Beta-caryophyllene has this spicy, peppery, sometimes woody aroma, maybe like cloves or black pepper.
Spicy.
It's particularly interesting because it was identified as the most common terpene among the top 10 found in the various cannabis samples analyzed in the research we reviewed.
Wait, the most common out of the top 10?
Yeah, really prevalent.
So what effects are associated with this prevalent spicy compound?
The sources suggest potential for stress relief and relaxation, but also maybe uplifting the mood and a subtle sense of contentment.
Interesting mix.
You find it in many popular strains. Girl Scout Cookies, Sour Diesel, OG Kush are common examples. And the research, well, it showed it dominant in a truly extensive and diverse list of chemotypes.
Too many to list.
Way too many, spanning everything from classic Kushes and Diesels to many modern hybrids like Gelato and Gorilla Glue. It's really widespread. And the material even hinted at possible anti-inflammatory properties, specifically for caryophyllene, which is a unique angle.
Huh, anti-inflammatory. Okay. Lenalool sounds delicate, maybe like the flower it's named after. Lavender.
Exactly. Lenalool carries those tender floral and lavender notes. And unsurprisingly, it's abundant in lavender plants themselves.
And I'd predict the effects are calming then, based on lavender's reputation.
That's generally the association, yes. Users often report relaxing effects, a sense of tranquility. The material suggests soothing properties and its potential use as maybe an anti-anxiety aid.
Makes sense.
It's found in strains like Granddaddy Purple and Lavender, of course, and the research identified it as dominant in Docetos.
How about Humulene? What's its profile like?
Humulene has an earthy scent, but with a touch of spice and herbal warmth. Like caryophyllene, it was also mentioned as a very common main terpene found in the cannabis samples studied.
Another common one. What does humulene bring to the experience, according to the research?
The effects linked to humulene are often described as increased focus and mental clarity. Kind of grounding.
Focus and clarity. Okay.
You find it in strains like White Widow and Skywalker OG, and you also encounter it in plants like sage and ginseng.
And terpenylene seem to have a complex personality, as described in the material.
It certainly does. Terpenylene's scent profile is this blend of floral notes, herbs, and citrus, quite complex.
Floral, herbal, citrus.
Wow. And the research associates it with potentially tapping into your creative side, promoting an uplifted, motivated feeling.
Creative boost.
Yeah, maybe an energy boost, but without the jitters sometimes associated with other things. Varieties like Jack Here, Gypsy Haze, and Pandora's Box were noted as terpenylene dominant.
The sources also touched briefly on some less common but still interesting terpenes, like Bisabolol, found in chamomile.
Right, and strains like Harlasu. Bisabolol is described as sweet and floral, often linked to gentle, soothing effects, much like chamomile tea.
And fenchel, in basil and fennel.
Yeah, fenchel has a floral, woody, herbal scent. It's believed to promote relaxation and calmness. And there was a hint of antioxidant potential mentioned, too.
And guaiole was another one.
Guaiole, yes. Woody and piney, but with a surprising hint of roses. Also suggested to offer soothing and grounding effects.
So now that we've looked at some of these individual players, let's see how they kind of come together. The material included some really fascinating examples of specific terpene profiles found in different named varieties. This is where the combinations really start to tell a story, right?
It truly is. And the research noted examples of brands, like One World Cannabis has mentioned, who actually list the top three terpenes right on the packaging.
Making it accessible.
Exactly. Making this information accessible. So looking at specific examples from the material we reviewed, we saw profiles like, nice cookies. That one often features caryophyllene for that potential spicy relaxation we talked about.
Right.
Marcine, the abundant, earthy, calm one.
Okay.
And humulene, which is linked to focus and clarity.
Hmm. Caryophyllene, marcine, humulene. That combination sounds like a grounded, relaxed, but maybe still mentally engaged experience.
Potentially, yeah.
What about something like Supreme Indica? What did the profile look like there?
Supreme Indica was noted to frequently include limon, bringing that citrusy uplift.
Uplift in an indica, interesting.
Yeah. Then caryophyllene again for the spicy relaxation. And fenchel, which is associated with that floral or herbal calm.
Interesting how caryophyllene keeps appearing. It seems really foundational in many profiles.
It does, very common.
And what about space cake?
Space cake listed limon, again for citrus energy, caryophyllene for that spicy relaxation, and myrcene for the earthy calm.
Limon, caryophyllene, myrcene.
So you can see how these different combinations, even when they share dominant terpenes like caryophyllene, create these unique profiles.
Yeah.
That could potentially lead to quite varied effects. It aligns perfectly with that whole idea of the entourage effect shaping the final experience.
Okay, so we know the genetics of the plant determine which terpenes are possible. But the material also made it really clear that other factors significantly shape the final terpene profile you actually encounter in a product.
Oh, absolutely. The research points out that pretty much everything from the growing conditions, the climate, the soil, light exposure.
Others grown.
Exactly. But also the age of the plant, even the specific time of day or the time of year it's harvested, can influence both the quantity and the type of terpenes produced.
Wow, time of day even.
Yeah. And it doesn't stop at harvest either. How the cannabis is handled, dried, cured, that's critical.
Why is that so important?
Well, terpenes are volatile compounds. They can degrade or simply evaporate over time, especially if they're exposed to air, heat, or UV light.
Ah, so they can disappear.
They can change. This oxidation can alter their chemical structure and potentially their effectiveness. The material even included a really compelling comparison.
Oh, yeah.
Of fresh versus dried samples of the exact same variety, showing significant differences in the terpene content just from the drying process.
So the profile isn't static at all. It's this dynamic result of the plant's genetics plus every single step of cultivation and processing afterwards.
Precisely.
Okay. Given all this complexity you've got, the varied compounds, the entourage effect, all these environmental factors, how does someone listening actually use this information to make more informed choices?
This is where the role of lab testing becomes so indispensable, as highlighted in the material we read. Techniques like gas chromatography mass spectrometry.
GCMS.
GCMS, yeah. Those are the tools used.
And what does that actually do? Tell us.
Think of it like a highly sophisticated chemical fingerprinting machine. It basically separates out all the different compounds in a cannabis sample.
Okay.
And tells you exactly which terpenes are present and, crucially, in what amounts or percentages.
And many brands now provide this information, right? Mm-hmm. You mentioned seeing it on packaging like One World Cannabis listing the top three, or maybe on full lab reports.
Exactly. And learning to read those reports or labels is really key because it moves you beyond just looking at, say, the THC or CBD percentages.
Right.
The sources really emphasize that understanding the terpene profile is crucial if you want to tailor your experience to match your desired outcome.
So if you're aiming for relaxation, you'd look for profiles high in maybe myrcene or linalool.
Precisely. Or if focus is your goal, you might explore varieties known to be dominant in humulene or pine.
And for creativity, maybe terpenylene.
Terpenylene might be one to investigate, yeah. It empowers you, the consumer, to make a choice based on the full potential effect profile, not just the perceived strength based on cannabinoids alone.
It really flips the script from the old way of thinking, which was often just chasing the highest THC number possible.
It absolutely does, because the terpenes working through that entourage effect are just so influential in shaping the quality and the actual nature of the experience you have.
So what does all this mean when you boil it down for someone listening?
Fundamentally, it means those delightful, sometimes surprising aromas and flavors you notice in cannabis are far more than just, you know, sensory details.
More than just smell and taste.
Much more. Terpenes are active molecules. They work in concert with cannabinoids to give each variety its unique personality, and they significantly influence how you actually feel.
So understanding terpene profiles gives you a whole new lens, really, through which to explore cannabis. It sounds like a practical shortcut to making more informed choices based on the experience you're actually looking for. Looking at those terpene lists on product labels isn't just for chemists.
Not at all.
It's for you, helping you find what works best for your individual needs or preferences.
It feels like the science is still rapidly advancing, you know? We're learning more about these fascinating compounds all the time, but the picture is becoming much clearer. Terpenes are absolutely fundamental to the cannabis experience.
And I guess diving into the diverse world of terpene profiles, maybe keeping a journal, is really the best way to discover how they personally affect you.
That's probably the best advice. Pay attention.
Well, thanks for joining us for this deep dive into cannabis terpenes. It's certainly given me a lot to think about.
Yeah, there's always more to learn. Maybe a final thought for listeners. As you encounter different varieties next time, consider how paying attention to their specific aroma and maybe looking up the listed terpene profile if it's available, how that might change your understanding of its effects compared to just glancing at the THC percentage. It could be quite revealing.